Oh, let's try that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all this morning. I want to go over just a few announcements. Happy week after Resurrection Sunday. And we know this morning that Jesus has still risen. Amen. And so every Sunday that we gather together, we celebrate a risen Savior. And so happy to have all of you all back who've been in Florida on the beach eating seafood and while I've been eating peanut butter sandwiches. No, I'm teasing. No, I'm kidding. It's good to see you. Good to see you all back. I was kind of wishing I was there. But anyway, it's good to see you all back. This coming Saturday is Youth Hangout Night. From 5 to 9 p.m., what we going? It says hangout night. We hanging out? Oh, hang night. Oh, I thought, hang night, youth hang night. Oh, okay. All right. Youth from 6th grade through 12th grade are invited. Come enjoy some food, fun, and fellowship. What kind of food?
Burgers and hot dogs.
Burgers and hot dogs. You can't beat that. And so next Sunday, April 14th, following 10 a.m. service, Brother Caleb will hold a meeting for the parents of all students attending Mission Fuge. That is a huge week in the life of our students and leaders, so be praying about that too. But also be at this meeting April the 14th at 10 a.m. after the 10 a.m. service. The annual Mother's Day banquet will be held on Saturday, May the 4th at 10 a.m. Please sign up at the welcome desk if you plan to attend, okay? So please sign up so that we can have a record of how many are going to be coming to that as well. Let's go, Lord, in prayer as we get ready to sing this morning. Good to see you all this morning. Father God, we just thank you for this wonderful morning to be able to once again sing praises to your name, to open up the Word of God. And Lord, we again always pray that, Father, we don't read it for information more than we read it for transformation. Lord, that you would transform our hearts into the image of your Son. And Father, this morning, let us glean, let us look at, let us understand, let us absorb all that you want and desire for our lives through your Word. We give you all the glory. Thank you for all those that are here this morning. Thank you for the travel mercies who've been traveling this week and are back. We miss them and so glad to see them back. Father, we give you again all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
Morning, church. This is Ephesians chapter 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We didn't earn our salvation. We can't keep it. It's all God's grace. And that is exactly what we're going to sing about this morning. Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Let the glory of the Lord forever be our joy. May redemption be the theme of our song. For by grace we have been saved, and by grace we shall proclaim to the corners of the earth that Christ is come. Let the nations be glad, let the people rejoice, for salvation belongs to our God. Let the whole earth be filled with the praises of the Lord, for salvation belongs to our God.
Let the people with the glories of the gospel to exclaim. Now we pray your kingdom come, and we pray.
Your grace is
Be seated. If we can have some ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. And as they're coming, I know that we've had some that are not feeling well this morning. I want you to know, if you're watching online, we are praying for you and hoping that you feel better soon. We also always pray for those who are shut in. We want to let you know too that we are praying for you as well. And also want to let you all know, in case you didn't know, that in that far corner, there is a door and there is a library. And so anytime you would like to go into that library and get a book and check out a book, you may not have known that, but we have a wonderful library. Miss Rita oversees that. So feel free to go and check out a book, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Charlie, would you bless him? Susan. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, as we continue our journey through the book of Romans. I don't know exactly how long we will be in Romans 9. We'll just take it as it comes. We're in no hurry, right? We study it together. We walk through it together. Again, I want to say to the worship team and the praise team, what a marvelous job you all did this morning. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then Susan topping it off with those songs. I told them in the first service, it reminded me of Mama back on Back Street singing those songs. And it just brought me back. And so don't ever assume that no one is listening. It's okay to sing in your house. Okay? I go back to Mama when she was cooking after church and all the kids and grandkids being there and hearing her sing in the kitchen. And that is one of my fondest memories. I wasn't a Christian at that time, but I was listening to those songs. So there are ways that you can witness and you can share, and one of them is by singing. And so keep singing when people are around, and they will see that there's something different in your life that's standing out. Okay? So I gave you a license to sing. All right? Did you hear that? Somebody's saying, I ain't. Yeah, you sing. Sing. All right, let's stand together at the reading of God's Word from Romans chapter 9. And as we're standing, I hope that you take notes today. As a matter of fact, as I preach, I'm going to be walking the aisle to see if you're taking notes. Okay? And I'm going to check you at the door because there are 4 points, and I'm going to make sure that you have all 4 of them. Okay? And so it's very important. This message has been waiting, and this week, and thinking on what I was going to be preaching is very weighty, and convicts my own heart very strongly, and I hope it convicts all of our hearts as we listen to Paul. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it, though that through the Holy Spirit, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. The people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from him, from Israel, are Israel. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but as the children of the promise, who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. At the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Let's pray. Father, once again, I stand before your people to proclaim your word. And Father, what I know to be true, that your word is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. And Father, we ask this morning that you would disciple us, that you would teach us from your word. Father, that we don't look at it just as a letter that Paul wrote, but we look at it as a letter that Paul wrote inspired through the Holy Spirit. That these are your words. And Father, we come asking for your grace and for your mercy. Father, that we leave differently than when we came in. Let us not be a people who sit and soak. Let us be a people who go and tell. Tell of the good news of a wonderful Savior who is risen from the dead, who is our soon coming King. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I I want to start this morning by way of introduction because it's been about 3 weeks since we've been in the book of Romans. Due to the Resurrection Sunday, we wanted to get us up on what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. That's why we gather this morning. We don't gather just on Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, but we gather every Sunday morning. We rise every single day and we celebrate a risen Savior in Jesus Christ. And because we are born again believers, we have reason to celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us. But also know that in a group this size, there's a possibility that some of us here have never put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Never come by way of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know today that there is good news for you. And that good news is that Jesus died for you. And that if you would put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you would follow Him and trust Him, that you too could know Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God could dwell in you as well. But as we go through the book of Romans, we talked early in the book that the first 3 chapters, Paul was laying out something just really neat and really beautiful. Paul understood this, that people without Jesus Christ are lost. He understood that the problem in the world was sin. He knew that the solution was Jesus. And there's no other solution. There's no other way for a person to be saved outside of Jesus Christ. He knew that the ceremonial law, he knew that works, he knew that all these things wasn't going to earn you right with God, a righteousness of God. It doesn't matter how good you think you are, how good you think you've been, none of that will ever get you to heaven. None of that will get you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in that, he knew that there were a lot of people who did not know Christ like he did not know Christ. And so on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus, we know the story, Acts chapter 9, he was going to arrest anyone who called on the way, anyone who called on Christ, he was going to arrest them, he was going to throw them in prison, and maybe even kill them. But on that way and on that road, there was a life transformation that took place. He encountered Jesus. You see, you can't encounter Jesus and not come away changed. You can't. He was going in one direction, and after he encountered Jesus, he went into another direction. And because of that, God said that this man, Saul, who's going to be Paul, is going to be a chosen instrument. You know that if you're a born-again believer, you're an instrument of God. He's going to be a chosen instrument, not to the Jews, but he's going to impact the Jews, but he's going to be a chosen instrument to the Gentiles. And through his life, he will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of Christ. And so we see that this was the start of the beginning of his new life, his new journey in Christ. And let me just say this, Romans 9 is deep. You all are going to have to hang with me as we go through it. And we talked about in Romans that Romans is the ring, and if Romans is the ring, then chapter 8 is the diamond to the ring. It is the Everest to all the mountains. At the very beginning of Romans, he says this, "Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ." See, you're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either headed to hell or you're headed to heaven. There's no in between. And for those who are in Christ Jesus, in the ark of Christ, you are therefore saved, not because of anything you've done, but for what Christ did for you. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Again, if you're not in Christ, you're under condemnation. And therefore, if you're not in Christ, not only are you under condemnation, you are separated. You were separated from a holy God because of your sin. And at the very end of Romans 8, because we see at the beginning of Romans 8, no condemnation, at the very end it says there is no separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can come between you and Christ Jesus. No longer does death have a sting over you. You know, as I was thinking about this, Jack, as I was preparing this, my mind just goes to those who don't know Christ. You know, if you don't know Christ, I'm not talking about know about Him. I'm talking about knowing Him. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship. You see, if you don't know Christ, do you know what looms over you? Condemnation. Do you know what still has hold of your life? The death, the sting of death. You say, what do you mean? That if you died outside of Christ, you'll be forever separated from God. You'll really see that there really is a hell to shun, and there really is a heaven to gain. You see, this isn't no game. This is real life. Hell is separation forever and ever and ever. Separation from a holy God forever. It's not like I'm going to go to hell and be with my guys and be with my friends and if it's good enough for them, it's good enough. No! You ain't going to see them. The Bible says you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Where there will be constant torment. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be constant agony, constant pain, not talking to anyone but screams and screams and screams and screams. And it will never end. Where the worm dieth not. And sometimes if we're not careful, we don't think in that terms because I don't want to think about that. You ever been there? I don't want to think about that. This is eternal. But just on the opposite end, heaven to gain. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? We're not going to be tired anymore, Eddie. We were talking a little while ago how our bodies are wearing out. How you get exhausted, you got to have a nap or two or three or four. Where there's things that break your heart, where there's family members that crush your spirit. There's things you don't know how to fix or how to solve or any of these. Like, listen, when we get to heaven, God has it all figured out. He does here too. But you see, we're passing through. And these old bodies are wearing down. I remember being young and strong. It was a long time ago. I used to didn't catch cramps like I do now. Somebody told me earlier that I'm getting gray and asked me if I'd comb my hair with an egg beater. And then I was getting bald on top. Crush me. There really, yeah, amen. Listen, there really is a hell to shun. There really is a heaven to gain. And I plead with you with all of my heart, if you don't know Jesus Christ, don't let nothing keep you in that pew today. Amen. Don't let pride keep you there. Don't let fear keep you there. If you know that in your life the problem is sin and separation, that you know that the solution is Jesus Christ. Jesus did for you what you could not do for yourself. That alone is reason for us to celebrate every day. Why? Because Jesus Christ is no longer in the grave. He is risen from the dead, and He is seated at the right-hand side of God the Father, and He is ever interceding for us, and there's going to be a day that He's going to come and get His children, and we are going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Is God not good? But my heart breaks for the one that don't know Him. You see, Paul said in chapter 9, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. The first point that I want us to see is Paul's affirmation that he is speaking the truth. What, Paul, you didn't speak the truth? No. He's just reiterating, I'm telling you the truth. You know what we want to do a lot of times? We want to gravitate to people who tell us what we want to hear. A companion will tell you what you want to hear. A friend will tell you the truth. As Christians, God has called us to be truth tellers, not ear ticklers. We don't need people to tickle our ears. There's enough of that going on in the world we live in. What we need is people to tell us the truth. You know, the Bible says that the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There's no other way except through me. There's no other way for a person to be saved except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And many of you would say, or some people would say in this world, that is narrow-minded. Yeah, it is. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. We're not to be cafeteria Baptists. We're not to be cafeteria Christians. When I went to Tillman, we had two cafeterias. We had a regular cafeteria and we had a cheeseburger cafeteria. If you didn't like this, you could go to this. I don't know if they still have that. Do they still have that? They do? Two cafeterias? And so you can pick and choose. Ooh, I don't like that. You ever go through there and say, ooh. Back in my day, it was all good. They had square pizzas and chili, and they had that peanut butter mixed with the jelly in it. I'd get two. But you could go through there and you could look and say, ugh, I'm going to go for that. What we want to do sometimes is we want to get in the Bible and say, I don't like that. I'll take that. God says you'll take all or nothing. The Word of God is the absolute truth, and He's saying here that I speak the truth in Christ, not in my own opinion or in my own accord. I speak the truth in Christ Jesus. And He says, my conscience. Have you ever told a lie? Don't lie. And I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? And don't give me this, well, I might have stretched the truth a little bit. Stretching the truth is a full-grown lie. Pastors are bad about it with numbers in their church. Oh, we had 1,000 last week. I don't even go attempt that anymore. I have no idea. Or maybe you've told a little lie. Why? Only to make yourself look good or to make it not look as bad, and so therefore I don't share it all. Or maybe you leave something out. where Paul is saying, I'm telling you the truth. My conscience won't let me lie. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is living in me. Have you ever done something and you knew it was wrong and all of a sudden the Spirit of God convicted you? And then you got to do something about it, right? Because if the Holy Spirit of God is truly living in you, you're not going to be comfortable with it. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. The right thing is always right and the wrong thing is always wrong. And so therefore, God has called us as Christians to be truth tellers, to live by the truth and with the truth of Christ living in us. The Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us. And He says here that it is through the what? The Holy Spirit. Man, this is good news. Francis Chan wrote a book not too long ago, well, a few years back now, and it was called The Forgotten God. Because a lot of times we talk about God the Father and God the Son, but you know what? There's God the Holy Spirit. And if you're a born-again believer, do you know where the Spirit of God lives? The Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God leads you. The Spirit of God guides you. The Spirit of God directs you. The Spirit of God heals you. Spirit of God won't let you get away with things because it brings conviction to your heart, and that conviction brings actions to what are you going to do about it. And you know that as parents and as grandparents, we are to live by the truth and for the truth that our kids may see Christ in us. And so we see here that Paul's affirmation is he's letting them know, I'm speaking to you, I'm not lying, my conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. And then we see a transition from Paul's affirmation to Paul's anguish. Look what he says, verse 2. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Great sorrow in unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people. We see his anguish here, this mega sorrow. This down deep in the pit of his stomach. Not just sorrow in his heart, but down deep in his bowels. That your bowels rest even lower than your heart. He's in turmoil. He is in anguish. He is in sorrow. He has a deep heaviness in his life. Why? For the sake of his people. That they may know Christ, the Christ that he knows. As I was reading this, I have to ask myself the question, do I have great sorrow? Do I have a deep heaviness? Do I have a pit at the bottom of my stomach for my family members that don't know Jesus? Do I just put it off like it's nothing? Do we understand and realize that if they died today, you would never see them again? Because you know Christ, they don't. Well, someone else to tell them. What if not? Yes, we go to heaven to see Christ, and that's the one we want to see, the one who died for me. But at the same time, wouldn't you love for them to be in heaven? If you don't tell them, who will? If you don't pray for them, who will? And this is Paul. He has unceasing anguish for those that don't know Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about an NCAA game than Jesus. God help us. Help me. I've already preached this to myself four times. Let me have a desire and a concern for lost people all around me, especially my own family. I automatically went to some cousins. The third thing we see is Paul's affection. For I could wish. This is heavy. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ. I'm willing to go to hell for them. I don't know if I'm there. God help this heart of mine to have this desire, this heart, to be willing to be cut from Christ that they may know Jesus. My own kinsmen, my own family, that they may know Christ. And not only that, but His people, the nation of Israel, that they may know Christ. It's one thing to be willing to be cut off for the sake of someone you love, but to be cut off for the sake of someone you don't know. Do y'all read His heart here? As I read this, I'm looking at my own heart and I'm thinking, Lord, my heart is far from You. There was an encounter after the resurrection. It was Jesus on the shore, and He called to the disciples and He said, cast the net on the other side. They think, what for? We've been fishing and hadn't caught a thing. But okay. And then there were so many fish they couldn't pull up. And then they realized it was Jesus, and Peter, who walked on water, jumped in the water. And he began to swim. Can you see Peter? He was one of the slowest ones to the tomb, but he could swim pretty good. I mean, I use my sanctified imagination. I love it. Peter dives. And he's swimming. Why? Because there's Jesus. Are you willing to swim for Jesus? I mean, just willing to jump in? And then he has this wonderful conversation with Jesus. You know, he had just denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. And now they're walking on the shore together, and Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, I got a question for you. He said, do you love me? And he said, feed my sheep. He said, you know I love you, then feed my sheep. And they're walking, and he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. And take care of my lambs. And they go a little further and he looks again. He says, Peter, do you truly love me? Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. Do you know what I find interesting in that conversation? He never said, do you love my sheep? He said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You see, there's something about loving Jesus that changes everything else. You see, if you love Jesus, and I love Jesus the way we should love Jesus, we're going to love the sheep. You can't leave Jesus out of the equation, because Jesus is the equation. And this is Paul's anguish. He was wishing himself cut off. He wished himself cursed for the sake of his people. Look what he says. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off for Christ, for the sake of my people, those of my own race. And then we see Paul's assessment. As he lays it out here in verse 4, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. Do you know that if you're born again, you're adopted? That God purposely set His love toward you? I know people who have adopted children. It's not their own. But they love them like their own. And they set their love toward them. And I've heard testimonies of children who've been adopted who knew their parents loved them like none other. Because love chooses to set that affection toward. God chose you. God set His affection toward you. God loves you in spite of all of our mess. In this, while we were yet sinners, Tony, Christ died for us. That blows me away. How in the world Christ could love me the way He did? I remember how I was and how I am, and He still... I'm blown away by His patience over my life. I am one of the most impatient people there are, and God is so patient with me. I mean, sometimes it's hard to love the porcupines. But God has chose to love a porcupine and a skunk all together like me. He didn't look for me and wait for me to be good, because that was never going to happen. He set His covenant love toward me and said, you know what? I love Trevor no matter what. And when God loves, God loves. And there's nothing, according to Romans 8, that can separate you from the love of God. Paul knew that as well. I wish myself were a curse, but I also know that there's no separation, because it's already said, he already said it in Romans 8, there is no condemnation and there is no separation. So there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And we see here, the adoption as sons and the glory. You were created for the glory of God. That's amazing. God displays His glory every single day. You know that? Even when you're getting bald, God displays His glory. His power. I mean, there's this thing tomorrow, I think, called an eclipse. From what I'm hearing, God displaying His glory. But you can look into the water and see a tadpole. And see that God is displaying His glory. Everywhere you look, you as parents and me as parents and grandparents, we're to teach our children about the glory of God. So tomorrow, around, I don't know what time, 12, 2, 2-ish, take your kids out there, don't let them look up. Unless they have the correct stuff on, like a welding helmet, like me. And you know what you say? My dad did that. My dad's doing that. And whenever they see a sun rise, you take every opportunity and say, my dad did that. When you see a beautiful sunset, you take that opportunity to say, my dad did that. And you make God so big in their eyes that they look past you and that they look at the Heavenly Father. Because I can't do that. As much as I love my kids and as much as I love my grandkids, my love doesn't even compare to God's love for them. We can't even fathom how much God loves Elias. And I know that Caleb as a dad would go to war for Elias. But as much as he loves Elias, God's love is far greater. Paul wished himself a curse for the sake that Elias would know Christ, that you would know Christ, that your community would know Christ, that this world will know Christ. You see, here's how we give ourselves a test. How far will we go for the sake of that one that we know and love to know Christ? How much have you prayed for them? Do you know the reason we're not telling our family and friends about Christ? Because we're not telling God about our family and friends. When we began to get serious and get on our knees and began to have a burden and pray for our families and friends, you know what happens? We begin to tell them about the Christ that we're praying to the one that we're talking to. This is how we know whether or not it is burdening us so much that we're willing to get on our hands and knees and cry out for their salvation. My grandmother was a praying grandmother. And she didn't care who was around, didn't care who was looking. She was going to be on her knees praying for her grandkid and the salvation of them. It didn't matter. Why? Because she believed in the power of prayer. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe in praying for your children's salvation? Do you believe in praying for your sister or your brother's salvation? Do you believe in praying for your mom and dad's salvation, your aunt and your uncle's salvation, your cousin's salvation? Do you believe in it? Do you believe in it enough to fall on your knees and begin to pray for them? Do I? Right now, someone that you care about that don't know Christ is on your heart. Will you start by praying for them? And I'm going to ask you to do something. And I want you, and I don't want you to feel guilty. I never want anyone to feel guilty. You know me. But would you be willing to start and begin to pray for them at the altar of God today and ask God to begin to move in their heart? Maybe you have a child that's really small that don't understand yet, but you want to begin praying for their salvation. That it burdens you so much that you want them to know Christ. I'm not saying to be cut off for the sake of Christ or to be cursed. I'm talking about that it anguishes me enough to pray for them. I want to challenge you today to begin praying and look for an avenue to share with them. Do you see fruit in their life? If you see no fruit in their life, there's a good chance that Christ may not be in their life. So start praying that God would expose and bring fruit that will be evident. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for penning these words to the Apostle Paul. And Lord, I pray now for these names that are on our heart and mind. I pray right now, God, that even as I pray right now that if you have someone on someone's heart this morning heavy, that even as I'm praying, they'll get up from where they are right now and they'll come to this altar and begin to pray for them. Whether it's a friend or whether it's a student, whether it's a classmate, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a family member. And it may even be someone we don't even know. That we begin to pray for that person to be saved. Let us not worry about who's looking or who's watching. But let us be more concerned about their need for Jesus Christ. So Father, You work and move in a way that only You can. We believe in the power of prayer. We lift these names to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than stone? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since things are lost and its life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Now this is Millie Gower. And Millie made a profession of faith in between the services, and she accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of her life. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. And so Millie wants to follow in baptism next Sunday. So we have, look at that. That hand went up already. So we have a motion for Millie. We have a second. All in favor, raise your right hand. Say amen real loud. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. All right. You may be seated over there. Praise the Lord. God is good. I remember praying for Millie to come into this world. And so I remember them meeting and saying, we want to have another child, but didn't know if we could. And we began to pray, and then I'll never forget, and said, hey, Millie is on the way. And the world will never be the same again, right? And she is awesome. You know what? She loves Jesus. And so we were back there talking. I said, what's the problem, Millie? And she said, sin. What's the solution? Jesus. And Jesus is the solution to the problem of sin. Just give your life to Christ. Follow Him. Follow Him. It's not giving your life to Christ and sitting. It's giving your life to Christ and following Jesus all the days of your life. Okay? Let's all stand together. Don't forget tonight, be back here at 5:30 for Bible study. And it's good to see you all this morning. I want you to sing everywhere you go today. Okay? And then on the way out, I'm going to check your notes. There should be 4 points, okay? All right, now watch everybody go out the side doors. No, I'm kidding. Let's close in a word of prayer. Caleb, and I'm going to have you all stand up here, and y'all come by and let Millie know that you are excited to death for her, okay? Y'all stand right up here, and I'm going to have Caleb close us in prayer.